Here in Kutz Laretz this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading not one, but two parashios in order to catch us up with Achenu Shebibnei Yisrael. And so we begin our analysis of parashios Chukas and Balak. And so the parasha begins with the discussion of the issues of Parah Aduma and of Tumah and Tara and Tumas Mason. We're told one of the things that we do is we take a vessel filled with spring water. So Meir Shapiro, the famous Lublina Rav, noted that B'nai Yisrael are often compared to water. When water flows, it can break huge buildings and crush mountains. However, all of that assumes that B'nai Yisrael are on the move, like Mayim Chayim. But if our spirituality freezes, then we have no power and no strength. And so it's our responsibility to make sure that we maintain the power, we show the power, and we keep ourselves on the move to be able to be active. Of course, after the story of the Parah Aduma, which opens up the Parsha, we're also introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu and the Aaron HaKohen and the sin at Mei Meriva. And it begins with the instruction, "V'dibartem el ha'sela," you should speak to the rock. Now, who cares if Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the rock or hit the rock? Don't both imply a Kiddush Hashem? So Moshe Feinstein explained that sometimes we need to speak to rocks and we have to understand that. In other words, sometimes we need to say things to people even though we know our words won't necessarily have their desired effect. Chafetz Chaim adds that when we speak, seeds are planted even if those listening seem unreceptive. It's a responsibility that we have, and it's a responsibility that we should take seriously. Vayomer Elav B'nei Yisrael, so after that episode of B'nai Yisrael in the situation with the Dibartem El HaSela and subsequently Aaron HaKohen's death, B'nai Yisrael turned to the king of Edom. After Moshe Rabbeinu asks Ebra Be'artecha, B'nai Yisrael turned to king of Edom. Now, why did B'nai Yisrael respond after Moshe Rabbeinu was initially refused? And again, later we find that B'nai Yisrael and not Moshe Rabbeinu who initiate the discussions with Sichon. Why not Moshe? So the great Rabbi David Holzer, one of the great Talmidim of Soloveitchik, suggested that after B'nai Yisrael learned that Moshe and Aaron were going to die and not lead them into the land, so B'nai Yisrael understood that it was going to be up to them to fill the void. They knew Moshe couldn't solve everything for them anymore, and they realized it was up to them. They're going to have to start filling in the gaps. How often does it happen to us that we realize that there's a situation where we have to also rise to the occasion because we can't always depend that someone else is going to come in and do it for us? We have a responsibility to rise to the occasion. Now, after we finish Parshas Chukas, we move into the famous Parshas Balak. And Balak, of course, introduces us to the great Navi Lagoyim, the infamous Navi Bilam, who first gets told not to go to speak to the nation. And then later he's told, "Im lekro lecha bo anashim kum lechitam," if the people came out to call you, if they called you along, so then go with them, but do what I tell you and understand it. Now the Gemara Makos notes that it wasn't Hashem changing his mind. Rather, Hashem is telling us an important principle, "Bederech she'adam rotza leilech," in the path that a person wants to go. So Hashem directs them in that direction. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? So Rav Volba Zatzal explains that nothing stands in the way of a person's will. There are utensils. They're always apparent. They exist in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity to take the utensils of life that are around us and fashion them and decide, are we going to do what He wants for us to do? Are we going to do what we want to do? That's up to us to figure out. So Rav Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi Shalit is amazed. Take a look at this. A donkey and a malach speaking to Bilam doesn't influence Bilam of his own errors. So serious is what happens when a person has a convinced model of what's supposed to happen to him. Now, Bilam makes a declaration when he realizes that there's a malach in front of him, and he declares, "Chatasi, I sinned." Right? And the question has to be asked, well, what exactly did he do? Hashem gave him permission to go, so where's the chait? So the Malbim explains that Bilam didn't know what was happening in his life. And by definition, that's a chait, that's a sin. A person needs to think about what happens around him or her and learn from the experience. That's very important. Rabbi Yisachar Fran added that Bilam didn't consider Hashem's hand in everything. He has to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does have a hand in everything. And that was his mistake. Rav Aaron Leib Steinman Zatzal adds that one can see how far Bilam went not to see and understand the hand of Hashem. Sometimes when a person gets it and it's in front of his face, if he or she doesn't take a look and realize it's right in front of me, and you go that far, sataka, that's a problem. And that's a situation where a person is considered a chote. How far do you want a Kadosh Baruch Hu to shove it in front of you before you wake up and see the situation? Either way, whatever happens to Bilam, when he starts offering his different nevuos, he notes that he's no fail, ugalui einayim. He falls and he has an open eye. Why does Bilam fall and only then does he have an open eye? What does he mean to convey in that process? So, a number of years ago, I heard from a Melech Bitterman, who quoted the Shalah HaKadosh, who noted that sometimes it takes us to fall before we open our eyes and recognize that the reason why we're falling is because we don't have awareness of Hashem. And then we walk around, and we open our eyes and go, oh, there's Hashem, there he is in the process. Or Melech noted how foolish we often are, that we wait until things go bad before we recognize Hashem. And then it's even more foolish that once the difficulty passes, then we forget who helped us out. So, and that's one of those terrible situations that seems to keep repeating itself over and over and over again in Judaism. And it's something that we should be aware of and maybe be a little bit more careful about and start to look for, even when things are good, so that we don't fall prey to the situation around us. At the end of the parsha, so Bilam offers a series of predictions of the future. And one of the things he tells Balak is that you can go ahead and get this nation if you go after them in their znus. And so, of course, sure enough, at the end of the parsha, we read Vayitzamed Yisrael Baal Peor, that the Jews became attached to Baal Peor. Now, why does Hashem get so upset at Peor more than at Cheda Egel? Think about this for a second. At Cheda Egel, 3,000 people died. Here, 24,000. Why such a big difference? What a massacre. And while we're at it, how do they become so attached to Baal Peor? So Rabbi Yehuda Leib Amital Zatzal, the famous Rosh Yeshiva and founder of Har Etzion, Rabbi Amital Zatzal explained that Peor represents natural man. It's just the way man acts without any busha. There's no embarrassment there. And it's the opposite of Torah life when we're told to act with a certain degree of humility and dignity and busha. We don't let everything hang out animalistically. Right? That our job is not to act on our animalistic needs and forget about our humanity. We believe in humility, and that's one of the great things that we need to understand about ourselves, which may give us an insight, perhaps, into the final thought I'd like to share with you, which is the connection between the Parsha and the Haftorah, which we read from Micha, where Micha tells us, He gid lecha adam ma tov, ma Hashem elokecha dorish meimach, and to walk humbly im elokecha. Rav Shachter Shalito would always tell us that the word leches comes from the concept of going to a base evil. Tov la leches al base evil, mi leches al base mishteh. In other words, said Rav Shachter to us that it's kind of important for us to understand that in order for us to handle challenges in public, a person should really focus on his humility. When you walk into a base level, there's a certain degree of humility and a certain degree of privacy. And Rosh Hashanah used to always tell us it's more important that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kel HaMistater. God himself acts with that certain degree of humility and maintains his degree of privacy. And Mahu Af Anachnu, just like God does, that's what we're supposed to do. And so therefore, it's important for us to have a sense of dignity and humility. Pairing that with Rav Amital's thought on Baal Peor, perhaps we can suggest as follows. An important connection between the Parsha and the Haftorah is that Micha is telling us how to act, and it's the opposite of the way we acted in the Midbar in the period of time of Baal Peor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the wisdom and the understanding of how properly to serve him, that is to say, the way he wants to be served. And when we get that into our minds, we will not only experience a great Shabbos, but a Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umnucha. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give everyone a fine Shabbos and a Shabbat Shalom to all.